May the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Amen. Have you ever said to yourself, you know, life is funny. Life is funny, isn't it? In fact, you know what? I think you guys need to, everybody turn to this person sitting next to you and say, life is funny, isn't it? Do that right now. Thank you. That was entertaining. Well, you know, today's gospel reading from Matthew tells us about Joseph's story, right? Ostensibly his annunciation. So, you know who might not agree with us that life is funny? Joseph. Yeah, right? Matthew's nativity story is the story of one man's struggle. A man named Joseph, a descendant of David, who finds himself that his girlfriend's pregnant and he hadn't exactly been with her yet. Matthew's very clear that this story of the Messiah's birth is all about fulfilling promises made by God, promises that come in the face of no agreement in the world. Joseph's story is the one of a man whose plans for his life, that is, you know, the life that he wanted, that he just was not going to get. So when we think of Joseph, we should see that he starts out in the story in this space called not getting what he wants. Yeah. Grand ideas and big dreams die when bad news arrives in the form of an angel at the doorstep of this righteous man who hears the words, and you've heard me say it before, I'm going to say it again. Dude, your girlfriend's pregnant and the kid ain't yours. Joseph's response is gentle and loving despite the options that were available to him, right? His top option, defending his public honor by quietly, dumping that tramp, right? Well, that's what she would have been viewed upon as back in those days. And he would have done this if it weren't for a little visit from an angel, right? Telling him, of all things, don't be afraid. The angel's saying, life is funny. You know, Joseph, The message that Joseph receives does several things, and one is that it gives Joseph a peek into the future of what God's plans were for his kid, how that kid would impact the world. We're talking about Jesus here, right? How would he impact the world? Saving people from their sins? Get out! Really? Really? My kid? Matthew's telling of this man's crisis is designed to establish that the legal paternity of Jesus would keep this winter surprise in the Davidic line. Yes, a savior of Davidic lineage was what was promised, and Joseph was integral to this plan. So what does Joseph do? He goes with what the angel tells him. He just goes with it. Now, I know we're all very familiar with Luke's story of Jesus' birth, and we're going to get that here in a few days here, on Wednesday and Thursday. You know, that Mary is the person who believes what the angel told her. Well, in Matthew's story, it is Joseph whose job it is to believe the unbelievable. And he does it. So what in the world is Joseph teaching us, right? I mean, Joseph didn't get what he expected. But here's the thing about Joseph. Refusing to accept reality is kind of his thing, right? Reality says the odds are stacked against him. But here's the thing about Joseph. You know, Joseph is refusing to passively accept reality. Accepting what seems unrealistic is kind of our thing. You know, it's really the church's things. Think about it. We've got the audacity to think that we're about, you know, actually saving the world. That's what we're working toward. What an audacious thing. But I tell you what, that's not a flaw. It's fuel. And if you think about it, rarely do you ever get what you expect, right? What you actually get is what you inspect. Think about it. What we expect is what we've seen before. What we expect is what's been said before. What we expect is what's already happened. But the truth is, we don't ever need to be engaged in the conversation called, well, let's make it great again. Why? History never repeats itself, folks, despite the old adage that it does. No, it does not. You see, history is the story that we tell ourselves about what we've seen happen. History is the narrative that we create to ensure that our sensitivities aren't insulted. History is a retelling of facts, not the retelling of opinions. The retelling of opinions is, well, another word for that is gossip. Think about it. Gossip is lame. Why? Because it doesn't create anything transformative in the world. And being in the conversation for transforming things is what we, the church, are about. There's no such thing as alternative facts. Facts are facts. Opinions are just simply those things that everyone has, you know, eyes, ears, nose, a midsection, hip bones, legs, knees, ankles, feet, toes. If you're lucky, you got all your parts right. Transformation. It's not about getting what you want. It's about wanting what you get. Now, that's a line from a popular song. I didn't invent it. I think Sheryl Crow sang it a couple of decades ago. Check it out. I think it's that one about, I want to soak up the sun or something like that. Anyway, it's quite apropos, though, if you think about it, for the fourth Sunday of Advent. That's it. That's the message. That's what God wants us to get. That's what Matthew wants us to get in this story of Joseph. Joseph's life wasn't about getting what he wanted. It was about him wanting what he was actually getting. And how this goes against the grain of our culture and society and how we're brought up, right? From childhood, we're taught to, you gotta go for it. Follow your dreams, you know, don't ever settle. But you know what? What if settling means accepting what God wants? This popular way of thinking and even teaching, while it creates a lot of wealth in the world and riches for a few, it doesn't really bring joy. It doesn't really bring happiness, and you forget about peace. Joseph realized that getting what he wanted was not the plan for him. It wasn't his path. Joseph realized that his path was to want what he was getting. And what he got was a place in God's plan to be a redemptive agent in the world. And folks, we can all be that. We can all be that. All of us can be that if we're willing to be as receptive as Joseph was. Joseph realized that he was going to be an important part of what God was doing. You know, the Bible's way of saying all this is, you know, to save people from their sins. I know we're not saving anybody from their sins. We know Jesus has done that, right? But yet, this is our journey. Anybody can spend their life rehashing the past and talking about the good old days. And we could waste our time striving and struggling to get what we think we want. But the journey to peace and love is to get in on what God is doing on behalf of the whole world by wanting what God gives us. Just like Joseph did. And as Advent, our time of waiting, right, fades into Christmastide, our time of celebrating, right, let us with meek hearts and reverent souls be co-creating with God a future that's worthy of the gift of God's Son. So, as believers, just like Joseph, we get to participate in bringing the future into the eternal now. Not as a distant dream, not just as a pie in the sky someday, but a present reality for the benefit of the whole world. It means saying yes to what God is doing. No, this is not easy, okay? We all know this, but it takes true spiritual maturity and personal growth to truly want what it is that we get. Because that's where God is. And that's what God is up to. Emmanuel, God is with us, indeed. To the only God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. Amen.